Our text is found in Luke chapter 1, verses 26 through 38. Luke chapter 1, verses 26 to 38. And if you're able, if you're physically able to stand, would you stand as we read the Word of God, and let's honor God as we listen to and contemplate what He has to say to us. And then we'll seek His help and by the Spirit to His assistance in understanding these truths. Beginning at verse number 26. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. Verse 28. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at the saying and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there will be no end." Verse 34. And Mary said to the angel, "How will this be, since I am a virgin?" And the angel answered her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son. And this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. For nothing will be impossible with God." And finally, verse 38. And Mary said, "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. Amen. Our Father, we humbly seek you now and ask your help. Help us to understand what you are saying to us, your people. Help us to apply this truth rightly to our lives. And then grant us the grace to order our lives in accordance with your will. In Jesus' name we ask and pray. Amen. You may be seated. God bless you. Our subject for today is God's will and Christ's birth. God's will and Christ's birth. I want to begin with you thinking about this tremendous truth. The will of God is actually God revealing His intent and His purpose. Now, it's His intent and purpose for all of creation, but specifically, as it's revealed to you, is His intent and His purpose for you, right? The will of God, according to Romans 12, is good, acceptable, and perfect. You cannot improve upon God's will. And the best you can do is to know it because it's perfect. That's the best place that any individual can be, is in the will of God. That's a good place. Quite acceptable, and it's the perfect place to be. Didn't say it was pleasant. Didn't say it was comfortable. But it's the perfect place to be. Yes? Now, Jesus prayed, not my will, but what? Yours be done. And Jesus taught us to pray, your kingdom come, your what? Will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And so we're taught over and over and over again that we are to want and to seek and to ask for God's will. That is the perfect place to be. Yes? Now, as we look at our text here, those of you who are familiar with Luke 1, you know that prior to the text that we just looked at, we just saw God reveal his will regarding John the Baptist, right? John the Baptist's parents, Zechariah was a priest, and his mother Elizabeth, they were both older, similar to the case of Abraham and Sarah, right, beyond childbearing years. And God revealed his will to Zechariah. Zechariah, I'm going to give you a son, right? So God made his will known to them. And then wonderfully, we see right after that, God worked this mighty miracle regarding John the Baptist. He took these older parents, well, they weren't parents, this older man and woman, and he miraculously gave Elizabeth the ability to conceive. Right? Now, I won't go through all of the logistics. Of course, you know that Zechariah, he couldn't believe it. He didn't believe it when the angel first told him. And so the angel, he was deaf until the time that John the Baptist was born. But you see, even our unbelief doesn't stop God. God's plan will stay. Isn't this good? Now, that shouldn't be an excuse for us to be in unbelief. But what I'm saying to you is that God's going to accomplish his will. With or what? Or without us. Now, I want to be blessed, don't you? So I want to be in the will of God. Right? I want to believe him when he tells me what his will is. And we're going to see the benefit of that as we go on with the story. But we're good so far. That this is where we are. We've seen how important the will of God is. He made it known to Zechariah and Elizabeth. He worked it out with them. Now we find him about to make it known to Mary and to the this next. It's so wonderfully glorious to see God speak and speak clearly, and how he blesses those who hear. All right? So for the next few minutes, I want to try to gather our thoughts around these two big ideas. We're going to look at God revealing his will, how God reveals his will, and then we're going to look at the response to the revealed will of God, right? God says, this is what I want done, and then we need to, then we're going to learn what's the right response to that, right? He reveals his will, and then he expects us to respond rightly to it. Let's dive in. So as we look at God revealing his will, the first thing we see here is that God uses a messenger. He uses a messenger. You got Luke 1? Look at verse 26 and 27. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God. No, don't miss that. The angel was sent from God. Angels are sent from God. All right? Sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary, right? A few qualifying remarks. Some of you may know this, but I want everybody to be on the same page, okay? There are essentially two categories of angels in the Bible, all right? To put it plainly, there are, if you will, good angels and bad angels, or holy angels and fallen angels, or we call them demons. 1 Timothy 5 refers to them as elect angels, or there are those who are depraved. Okay, Satan and all of the fallen angels are not the elect angels. And so what we're about to talk about is how God uses the elect of the holy angels, those who obey him willingly. Now, all obey. the rebellious angels obey under duress. But you remember all, you remember that Jesus would approach somebody as demon possessed, and they were terrified. They knew who he was. He's the master. He's our maker. He said, Lord, please don't. Why? This is not time. You come too soon. Because I know what you're going to do. And so all angels obey him. It's just that you got some that obey him willingly. Everybody's going to obey. At the name of Jesus, every knee is going to bow. That is of things in heaven and on earth and what? And under the earth. And every tongue will confess that what? Jesus is Lord to the glory of God. And so what we are about to look at then is one of the holy angels. One of the holy angels that serves God willingly and gladly. And one day we're going to be set free in that same environment where sin won't be the problem for us that it is now. You look forward to that day?
Amen.
Yeah. And so we got this situation then where this angel is sent from God to Mary. Now, God uses angels to serve him and us, right? Angels, holy angels, are used by God to as messengers. They serve him, but they also work for us. I think I've got those two verses there. Hebrews, you find Hebrews 1. Hebrews 1:7 says, "Of the angels, he says, he makes his angels winds, and his ministers a flame of fire." Then you got verse 14. Are they, now this is again speaking of angels, are they not all ministering spirits sent out to serve for the sake of those who are to inherit salvation? And so these holy angels serve God and they take care of us. They speak for God. They protect us. They defend us. They deliver us. They fight for us. And so they're servants. Wonderful servants. Now, there are really only two holy angels mentioned by name in the Bible. You probably know them, right? Gabriel and Michael. And so we're looking at one of them here, Gabriel. And we see that Gabriel is sent here to Mary. But if you've studied your Bible, you remember we just saw Gabriel was sent to Zechariah. The same angel was sent to Zechariah to bring him good news that he was going to become a father. God has heard your prayer. You see, this is the issue. Sometimes it looks like God is so delayed in answering your prayer. But God is never late. Remember that old song? He's always what? On time. May not be on my time, but he's always on time. And he gets me on time because the time is his time. And when I get on his time, I can say with all the other saints, God is always on time. And so Zechariah found out that he answered a lot later than I thought, but he was right on time. See, Zechariah and Elizabeth probably thought they were ready to be parents long before they were. Just like we got ideas that we're ready for so much. You don't realize that God still got a lot more work to do on us before he gives us what you think you, not only what we think we want, God has a lot of work to do on us oftentimes before he gives us what we need. And so you saw Gabriel come to Zechariah and give him that good word. And it's the same angel that was sent to Daniel to give him that good word in the Old Testament. And so this is the messenger. The messenger comes to reveal God's will. And then he comes with the message. You back in your Bible? Let's get back over to Luke 1. Then you see that he comes with a message from God. You got verse 28? Look at verse 28. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, O favored one. The Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at the saying and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God." This is all his message now. "And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." This is the angel's message from what? From God to Mary. You think he got it right? Yeah, he did. Yeah, he did. And this is a lesson for you and me. When you're representing God before people, you need to get the message what? Right. Don't go telling people that God has said something he has not said. Amen. There's some serious accountability coming for teachers and preachers today who are saying what God supposedly has said, and God hasn't said it. James 3:1, "Be not many teachers, amen. Amen. Because as such there is greater judgment." You stand before people and you say, "This, thus says the Lord." And God says, "If I didn't say that." Amen. Amen. Now, listen to me. Even if you say what the Bible says and then put a different spin on it. Yeah. You see, you're not communicating. God expects teachers and preachers and those who represent him to not only tell people what he said, but you're supposed to be explaining. Like Nehemiah, you're supposed to explain. You're supposed to be telling the truth of what it means. Right? This is serious. And so this angel then goes and represents God with this great message. All right? This great message from God. Gabriel's message was regarding the conception, the name, and the mission of the Savior of the world. That's an important message, isn't it? That's an important... God sent this messenger to bring this message. The world has been waiting generations for this word. They've been waiting generations for the Savior, and God entrusted one messenger to go take it. You think he got it right? Yeah, he did. He came to talk about the conception, the name, and the mission of the Savior of the world. His conception would be miraculous. Ain't never been anybody conceived like this, right? His name was going to be Jesus. Jesus. And his mission. He was going to be the King of glory. The King you've been waiting on? Generation after generation has been waiting for the Messiah. When is he going to come to set us free? He's coming. He ain't coming like you thought he was. But I want you to know this is him. This is him. Right? So what a tremendous privilege it is to have the will of God revealed. Right? Now you need to stay with me now, because you and I happen to be reading somebody else's mail, and we're just reading a story. But think about how it was unfolded. This wasn't told to everybody. The master of all creation has taken a message this wonderful, has trusted it to one angel, and sent it to one person. This is serious. Isn't it? The reason we need to be serious about what God's telling us. God isn't wasting instruction. Just think about how it would have been if Mary hadn't taken this serious. Well, I'll get to it next week. Let me think about it for a while. You know how we do. I'm a little stressed right now. You know, I've got prayer. I've got things going on. We don't say it that way. But it's just as serious when God speaks to us as it was.
Amen.
Okay? Just because the event is different doesn't mean God's purpose is any less significant. All right? So we good so far? So we got God revealing his will. And so what I say here is that God clearly reveals his will to his people for us to obey. Then lastly, I want us to look at the response to God's revealed will. This is really interesting. I had to kind of work my way through it. But the first thing you notice with Mary, and you would be the same, but the first thing you notice with Mary is shock. What? I mean, you think about it. Think about what's happening here. This is really absolutely amazing. Mary was a young, poor, engaged Jewish virgin, living in what we would call obscurity, in a little isolated town called Nazareth. Famous for nothing. And she's certainly not famous for anything. Nothing about her that would make her special. And so this is a big deal. You think about it. How tough this would be. You consider yourself Mr. or Miss Nobody. And you got something like this happening to you. You're trying to get your brain, trying to get this, trying to process all this. Okay? So she was shocked. Absolutely. You see verse 29? She was greatly troubled at the saying and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. What? Why in the world would you be referring to me as favored or as if I'm some celebrity or something to God? And, you know, to put it in practical sense, I didn't even think God, I knew he cared about me, but why would I be highly favored? I read about Elijah and Abraham and David, and I can accept that. But now God speaking to me? Every one of us needs to think this through. Because I'm sure that Mary was prepared to live an ordinary life. She's about to get married, going to have a family, probably just be a housewife. And her husband was a carpenter. They'd go through life as what we would call what? Normal. But God had other plans.
Yes.
Yes. So the question is, are we prepared for God to change our plans that same way? Right? We make ourselves available for God to change our plans in the same way. Now, the fact is, the world didn't know who Mary was. The world didn't know where Mary was, but God did. Yes? And trust me, he knows who you are and where you are and what you're doing. Yes, he does. She had just had a supernatural encounter with an angel. And she had just heard about the most extraordinary miracles that could involve her. This was an absolute shocking experience, right? So Mary was fearful, she was perplexed, and she was amazed. And none of us should find any flaw with that.
Amen.
If anything, we should stand in awe that this young teenager was able to handle this. I mean, it's like, see, many of us, I'm digress just a minute. You think about our military. Oftentimes, we don't think that those men and women over there fighting for us 18, 19, 20, 21-year-olds. Now, you think of that. Freshmen, sophomore in college, they're over there on the front line losing their limbs or being having exposed to life-altering dangers at 18, 19, 20 years old. Right? And here we are down the road much further, and we can't imagine our own selves. So now, again, you think about this young woman here trying to process this, everything that has just been told her. This is super. This didn't happen to nobody before. Amen. You see, you and I are familiar with the story. Remember, she hadn't read this story before. Amen. Right? Amen. This is the first time she ever heard about this, and it had never happened to anybody. I remember what happened to Abraham and Sarah. But this ain't Abraham and Sarah. Right? So you get the process. She was shocked. Every believer should be in awe when God calls us. We should be just as much in awe as Mary was. And we should be just as much in awe when God speaks to us. And don't treat it tritely. Oftentimes I hear people say here, you know, I felt like God was speaking to me today. Then you should be shocked. And you should be thankful. And you say, Lord, you should say, Lord, what do you want me to do about what I heard, about what you said to me? Not just tell everybody else, God spoke to me today. What do you want me to do? Because, you see, Mary didn't go out and tell everybody, I heard from God. I heard from an angel. No. This is serious. So I need to process it and do what God wants me to do. You see, Jordan said, I need to respond to this message. Not just tell everybody I heard from God. Now, I mean, that's wonderful. But he didn't speak to you just for you to go and tell everybody you heard from him. Yes? Your meditation time, you were reading something that looked like it just leaped off the page for you. Well, he didn't do that just for you to go tell everybody that I was really blessed this morning in my reading. Well, what did he tell you to do? Yeah? You see, we're so enamored with the fact that God spoke to us that we haven't processed what he said. As if it's... I mean, it is phenomenal that God speaks, but come on. Why did he speak to you? Yes? So she was awestruck. So the first thing I see as Mary responds is shock. The next thing I see is what I call submission. From shock to submission. You got verse 34? And Mary said to the angel, How will this be, since I am a virgin? And the angel answered her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son. And this is the sixth month with her, who was called barren. For nothing will be impossible with God. And Mary said, Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word. And the angel departed. Mary, what did we see here? Mary was going to remain holy, and the child was going to be holy. You getting this? Mary can't figure this out, and neither would you if you were trying to think through the process. You just told me I'm going to be pregnant, and I'm going to still be holy? And you're telling me that I'm going to be pregnant with a baby that's going to be holy? This has never happened before. How can that be? How can that be? Right? And in the words of one of the theologians years and years ago, there are three great miracles here. I want you to think about them. Three great miracles here. What's the first one? The first one is that God and man would be joined in one person. What? Yeah. This is a phenomenal miracle. God and man joined in one person. Yeah? Second great miracle. Mary could be pregnant by the Holy Spirit. What? Thirdly, she could believe it. That is a phenomenal miracle. You think of that. You just heard that God and man were going to be joined in one person, and you were going to be impregnated with this unique individual, and God expects you to believe it. This is phenomenal. And you're 18, 19 years old. Whether you've been raised as a Christian or not, this is a stretch. No, just being for real. So you see, it took a miracle for her to believe this. Now, you remember what Jesus said? I'm not saying that it took humongous faith. Jesus said if you had what? Faith like a mustard. So it's not the size of her faith. It's the what? Quality of it. It was for real faith. You got it? For real faith. And so Mary was convinced that God was able to work this miracle, and she willingly submitted. That is absolutely extraordinary. Everything she's heard, even though her brain can't process the whole thing, she said what? Let it be to me according to your word. If that's God's will, his will be. Now, this is long. See, the Garden of Gethsemane ain't happened. Because the Savior hadn't been born. But she already realized, not what? My will, but yours be done. I had a whole nother plan laid out here. I'm engaged to the man of the love of my life. We're about to start the most wonderful life, and you have just come with some of the most upsetting. Who's going to believe me? I mean, come on now. Who in the world would believe this story? Much less my husband. You get this? You imagine. You've been 19, whatever, you know. Here you are about to be married, and you go tell your husband, I'm pregnant by the Holy Spirit. You see? This is phenomenal. But you see, she trusted God. Because you know God was also dealing with her husband. Right? Now, she didn't know all this. But she submitted to God's will. You good? The Holy Spirit will cause a believer to trust God in difficult matters, even when you don't fully understand. Isn't that what Proverbs 3 says to us? Trust in the Lord, what? With all your heart, lean not to your own understanding. Don't do it. Don't put a whole lot of weight on how well you understand a thing. Just trust the Lord. And then Jesus was asked what the first great commandment, you remember that, right? You shall what? Love the Lord your God with what? All your heart, soul, and mind, right? And when you love God and trust him, you don't have to understand everything. As a matter of fact, to understand everything means that you want to walk by what? Sight, not by faith. But the Bible says just the opposite with us, right? We walk by faith and not by sight. And if I'm walking by faith, that means I'm not going to understand everything. Right? And so this tremendous outworking here of seeing this young woman submit to God's will. And then finally, you see this? She was shocked. She submitted. And then she started singing. This is wonderful. This is absolutely wonderful. I started seeing this thing unfold over the weekend. That God would work it out this way. If you'll notice that God realizes where Mary is. Mary is willing to obey God even though she doesn't have all the answers. And look at what God does when we take just that little step of faith. Now he's going to give her some encouragement by letting her go and visit with her relative Elizabeth, who's already had a miracle, what? Worked out in her life. Now, it's not the miracle that Mary is about to experience, but it's a miracle nonetheless, right? And so, look, isn't God good? So he knows of Mary, though she submitted to it, that she's kind of struggling with this thing. So then he sends her, right? Sends her over to visit with Elizabeth. And so God exposes. Let me just read some of this. Y'all ready? Got verse 39? In those days, Mary arose and went with haste into the hill country to a town in Judah. And she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. And when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, the baby leaped in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. And she exclaimed with a loud cry, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why is it granted to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For behold, when the sound of your greeting came to my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy." You getting this? God knows what Mary needed. She needed some encouragement. Any good? All he wants you to do is just obey him. Don't try to figure it out. Right? So God goes and shows her a miracle he's already worked. And then he gives her some affirmation of what God has already said. Ain't no way Elizabeth could have known that. The Holy Spirit told her what was going on. And God brought joy. And then Mary just can't contain herself now. She just can't contain herself now. Now Mary's going to break forth and praise herself. Right? You got it? You're looking at it. It's wonderful. It's absolutely wonderful. Verse 45. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her. And look at Mary, verse 46. And Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God, my Savior, for he has looked upon the humble estate of his servant. For behold, from now on, all generations will call me blessed. For he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name, and his mercy is for those who fear him. From generation to generation, for he has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the mighty from their thrones and exalted those of humble estate. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham and to his offspring forever." And Mary remained with her about 3 months and returned to her home. That is absolutely phenomenal. That is phenomenal. This young woman could be stirred so mightily, could be caught, shocked with this message from God. But God knows who he's dealing with, you see. God didn't entrust this message to anybody. He didn't go to the high and mighty. He didn't go to a woman that lived in a castle. He went to the humble and the lowly. The ones who no one would have picked for their outward appearance. But God doesn't look on the outward appearance. God is looking what?
at the heart. You saw him do the same thing with David. You know, he sent Samuel to look for what? A king. And so Samuel goes there, and David's dad thought just like everybody else. If you want a king, let's start with my more promising sons, right? Worked his way through every son, and Samuel said, "Well, surely God didn't send me here just for nothing. You don't have any more sons. I got one. I got one more, but surely he can't. He ain't no way. He ain't no king material. You see." You get this?
Yeah.
God looks at the heart.
Yeah.
While you're sitting around in obscurity, mm-hmm. thinking nobody sees what you're doing, God sees. While you think it's so late, it's way too late for me, God's timing is so much different than yours.
Yeah.
You getting this?
Yes.
And so he just wants us, when he speaks, to be obedient. Trust him. Trust him. Trust him. Humble submission and praise is the right response to the will of God. Well, you've been so patient. So then, my beloved brothers and sisters, we see that God's will reveals his intent and his purpose for Zechariah. His will revealed his intent and purpose for Elizabeth, for John the Baptist, for Joseph, for Mary, and all of God's people. The will of God brought what? It brought humility, as he revealed. Right? It brought joy, it brought hope, it brought encouragement. The will of God brought peace, amazement, and deliverance. It brought praise and worship for Zechariah, for Elizabeth, for John the Baptist, for Joseph, for Mary, and for God's people in the first century. But I'm saying to you that when God reveals his will to us about Jesus, it ought to bring joy and encouragement and peace and praise and worship for us today, right here, right now. For God has given us a sign. Didn't he? He said, "Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and his name shall be called Emmanuel." For to us a child is born, right? To us a son is given, and the government shall rest up, be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Hallelujah. Is that good news? Isaiah is speaking now. He says, of the increase of his government and of his peace, there will be no end. And of the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time forth and forevermore. The zeal of God, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. You know what? Isaiah said that. Hundreds of years ago. Did God do it?
Yes, he did.
He did. He's already done it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Did it just like he said he would. Because
yeah.
Somebody believed him.
Yeah.
He did it just like he said he would.
Yeah.
God's will has been fulfilled. Therefore, like Mary, we must humble ourselves. Submit ourselves to the will of Christ. And praise the Lord for the great things he has done. And if you're not a Christian, you can know this same Christ. He's already come. He's already been born. He's already lived. And he's already died for you. And so his message to you right now is only believe. He wants you to believe. He wants you to trust him. He can save you where you are. He can deliver you where you are. He simply wants you to trust him. Just as this, you saw this little young woman here who couldn't, this message was so wonderful. Well, the gospel message is the same way. God loves you so much that Christ died for you. And he's saying now, if you would just come to him, he'll save you forever. Your sins will be forgiven forever. And you will be with him forever. Lord, would you give great grace upon this meeting now and finish the work you started early this morning. You know what you're doing. You knew the ones that were to be here. You have prepared ears to hear. You prepared this old lump of clay in my mouth to speak. And I pray, Lord, that I honor you with what has been said. And would you now, Lord, take these feeble words and speak to your people. Make your message clear and plain. Because we want your will to be done. In Jesus' name. Amen. Well, God bless you. Let's bow together for a few minutes in meditation.